a plethora of challenges. Medicare dying versus Medicare living. Which party is most closely aligned with either? Also, a top Democrat blames racism for the president's woes. And where are we in Libya? We have a System in the Opining. We do each and every time this part of the week. Mark Levine, he is, of course, a former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. radio host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW, big flamethrower. And, of course, not that you are, but your radio station is. That's our jargon. Oh, my God! See how presumptuously you judged. And you know why you judged just like you did? Because you are a flamethrower. No, I'm just kidding.
No more than you, Alan. No more than you.
Anyway, he, of course, you can discover more about him at www.marklevineradio.com. Again, that's marklevineradio.com. His phone number and social security numbers are as follows. No, I'm just kidding. Mark, good to have you back. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm glad you don't have my social security number.
Listen, I wouldn't announce it. I'd get the money first. Anyway, you and I were chatting. What about this thing, this article from McClatchy? What was your read on it? Let me catch people up. In McClatchy, we had Congressman Clyburn, the second highest ranking Democrat in the House, essentially asserting that the cause for a lot of the president's woes right now can be attributed to racism. What say you?
Well, it's not a comment I would have said, certainly. I don't think that it ever sort of helps to judge on that score. But look, let's face it, a lot of the opposition to Obama is expressed in racist terms. Now, I think that, frankly, that opposition would be there whether or not Obama was black. Let's not forget, people accused Bill Clinton of murder. So there are people that are opposed to Obama's and Clinton's policies and that want to express that opposition in the most extreme terms possible. With Bill Clinton, they couldn't go into race, so they accused him of murder. But let's face it, some of the things, many of the comments that are made about Obama are based on race. It's because I think the people
predicated on what?
Predicated on what?
You know, my friend, you're on a Socratic show. Point, counterpoint, counterpoint, counterpoint. Assertion, premise. Predicated on what?
Okay, well, there's the birther stuff, which I think was entirely based on race.
How do you find that to be a race issue?
And instead they challenged Obama.
How do you make that a race issue, though? How is it birthed? Whether you agree with them or not, how is it for some reason? Because it's beginning to sound as if that by these measures, no person of color should have to defend his politics because anyone criticizing that person's politics is clearly a racist. That's a circular argument.
Well, I certainly don't think anyone criticizing Obama is a racist. And in fact, to Clyburn's credit, he didn't say that. He said that there was a large measure of racism.
For everybody to understand, I'm looking at the same article. It says, McClatchy, Washington Bureau. The headline is, Racism to Blame for Obama's Problems, Key Democrat Says.
Well, in
the first three lines, House Assistant Democratic Leader... House Assistant Democratic Leader. I don't think we ever had one of those until Nancy Pelosi refused to walk away from the stage and then just said, Steny Hoyer, I'm going to be the leader, not you. Of course, that moved everybody down a notch on the totem pole. But anyway, getting back to it, House Assistant Democratic Leader Jim Clyburn, the highest-ranking African-American in Congress, on Wednesday blamed most, not some, not a bit, not partial, most of President Barack Obama's political problems on racism. I think it's an amazing insult. What's that?
Read the direct quote. That's McClatchy characterizing what he said. He said it was in there. Cause of racism. That's the actual direct quote. And you can attack him for it.
Yeah, but he can't. No. I'm a former national television correspondent. Even though that might not be a direct quotation, you are not allowed to report that which is not true, technically speaking, if you're a reporter. And McClatchy, if anything, they're kind of left of center. They have no reason to mischaracterize
it.
They said most. They blamed most. He said, they're saying this guy blamed most of President Barack Obama's political problems on racism. I mean, that's pretty self-evident, I think.
Well, he said that a lot of it was in large measure due to racism, and that's his claim. Now, my claim is that some of it's due to racism. A large measure, as you pointed out, as we discussed beforehand, is very difficult, if not impossible, to quantify. So I'll say in some small measure due to racism. But the point is I don't go as far as Clyburn, but I wouldn't say that none of the opposition to Obama is racist. I think that the fact that no one has challenged any president's birthplace ever before Obama, and they chose to challenge him when there wasn't even a reasonable question, unlike, say, John McCain, where there was a reasonable question, to me suggests something else is going on here. And not to mention the bone through the nose and the claiming, what did Newt Gingrich quoted D'Souza to say that he had a Kenyan anti-colonial worldview. I mean, it's just nonsense, just complete nonsense. If you don't like Obama's policies, say so. Don't attack the man personally.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, what can be seen is that you got a lot of folks who are committing racism in the name of fighting it. Because essentially when you make assertions of racism without premise, and the premise is just never proportionately enough cited when the assertions are made, but when you make assertions of racism without premise, you really are committing racism in the name of fighting it. And the reason is that you're using race to intimidate dissent, thus fulfilling the very definition of racism. And I think these people are cry wolf racists.
Well, I would not have said what James Clyburn has said. I'm not saying that it's true in large measure. As I said, if it were me, I would say, and asked, I would say it's true in small measure. But I would always prefer to go on the basis of what the policies are, why you like them, why you don't like them, rather than attack a man's person. And I think that's true whether it's Obama, Clinton, Bush, or anybody else. I think all these people are trying to do their best. I disagree with some. I agree with others. But don't attack them personally. I believe that with anything, really.
And, of course, as you mentioned, Clyburn also suggested, according to McClatchy, that the birther movement of Americans who say Obama was not born in the United States is fueled by racism. But
now, that I'm more likely to agree with.
Yeah, but why is it then, if that's true, why is it then that once he displayed his more complete long-form birth certificate with its more constitutionally compliant information, that all the birther concerns fell by the wayside? Their outrage has been completely eviscerated, completely propitiated, if you will. It's not around anymore. Once he addressed that concern, it disappeared. There's nobody out there complaining now.
I'll tell you what.
It was always within, even Chris Matthews said, it's in this guy's power to make it go away. Why didn't he make it go away?
Well, that's exactly what Chris Matthews said. Chris Matthews said, why doesn't he show the long form just to satisfy these idiots that are claiming that it's there? Look,
you're not an idiot because you see in front of you a non-existent proof, because you see in front of you that which is not compelling as evidence that somebody was actually born in the United States. The first birth certificate was not compelling enough. People had doubts. He showed the actual one. Guess what? All doubts removed, and we're on to other things, except for this guy retroactively bringing stuff up that I think is bizarre. But anyway.
I think the birther controversy reminds me very much of the people that accused Bill Clinton of murdering Vince Foster. Okay, they're a bunch of really wacko, crazy people who do not like the president's policy, and instead of arguing on the merits, choose to make up extremely wild, wacko conspiracy theories. Now, I think the birther nonsense would have gone absolutely nowhere if opinion makers in the Republican Party hadn't embraced it. They've backed away from it. Their followers have followed.
And I say the only thing that made it go away was the very thing for which they were clamoring. Once shown, they were on their way. But people, for the most part, understand that when it comes to the Constitution, it's the people's written directive to the very government it created, and not one of these branches has the right to thwart the mandate to the very document from which their powers are derived and to which they are each compliant. It's universal. Stick with us. More Battle Line. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Medicare dying versus Medicare living. Which party is most closely aligned with either? Also, top Democrat blames racism for the president's woes. And where are we in Libya? I'm still trying to get to Libya. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. We have on board with us old friend of the show, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. talk host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. You can find out more about him on marklevineradio.com. That's MarkLevine. Radio.com. Good to have you back, Mark.
Good to be here.
I just want to touch on this a little bit long with the racist reference and Clyburn asserting that which could not be true. I find that, and the reason I say that, you know, when you commit racism, or I should say that when you make assertions of racism without premise, you're actually committing racism in the name of fighting it, is because too often people will go ahead and throw that out as a distraction because they're otherwise losing in the argument that's currently transpiring. You see what I'm saying, right?
Well, sure. I certainly disagree that with any false allegations of any kind, and certainly racism. But I think you'd be naive to not recognize there is a strain of racism in the Tea Party and in some of the opposition to Obama.
But it shouldn't be a measure of anything we're discussing when talking about political disagreements, because by that standard, all people of color would never have to worry about defending their politics, because they could always go out and reference that generally applied failsafe of, oh, well, there must be racism because these people are disagreeing with me. I just don't buy it. Well, I mean, why is it people don't understand the difference between issues relevant to racial conflict versus issues relevant to conflict that just might transpire between people who are not of the same race? I mean, look, a black guy and a white guy can argue over the same things, or let me put it differently than that. I'll leave it as just that. A black guy and a white guy can argue over the exact same things that might be argued by between two blacks, two Asians, two Hispanics, two Middle Easterners, if you will. They could all be arguing over the exact same thing. But because two of those people happen to not be of the same race, well, therefore it must be a racial conflict. I think we as a country better grow up about this, because more and more folks out there in Peoria are coming aware of this and are really getting fed up with the sophistry. That's just my take on it.
I don't think anyone was saying, and I certainly don't think James Clyburn was saying, that opposition to President Obama's health care plan or opposition to his decision to go into Libya or opposition to killing bin Laden, not that there was any of that, that opposition to his policies are based on racism. What he's saying is that some of the really ridiculous stuff that's been thrown at him is based on racism, and on that I agree.
No, he's not saying some. He's saying most. That's what was reported. That's
well,
just
he
it.
Said, he said in large
most. Are you?
I told you. I
are you? You didn't do that, did you? Start using movable standards. You didn't do that. I know you're not using disconnected measures. I know that, aren't you?
No. He said in large measure, as I said, I would say in small measure, and I don't think it's a big deal. It's not a comment I would have said, and I don't think it's getting a lot of press.
I got to tell you, I just think the way the press, I like it actually. If a Republican's caught being racist, let them have it. But when the press begin pulling punches, for it is clearly the racism of those who happen to be on the Democratic aisle, simply because their Democratic brethren in the media happen to want to give them greater latitude, I think that does a disservice to everybody, including the minority in question. Well, it does happen. I remember some years ago, there was nowhere near as much fanfare made over West Virginia Senator Democrat Robert Byrd's repeated use of the term white N, you know, the late Robert Byrd. Also, I remember less egregious but still unpardonable, you might recall yourself, was the relative pass given to then-Senator Hillary Clinton. You remember? In 2004, when she stereotyped Indian Americans by saying that Mahatma Gandhi ran a gas station in St. Louis. Also, you had Joe Biden. I remember Joe Biden. He was barely grazed by the press after asserting that, quote, you cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donut unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking, unquote. And, of course, what I loved was Jim Moran when he blamed the Jews for our going into Iraq and later had to apologize. I mean,
right.
Press scrutiny on this was so ephemeral as the border on the non-existent.
That.
What's that?
Yeah, he's my member of Congress, and I have criticized him strongly publicly for that. And just as I criticized George Allen for using the racist term macaca.
The macaca,
I mean. Right.
I had no problem with that, but why be so inclined to pull your punches when it comes to the racism of the left versus being being in full throttle and robust mode when it comes to being critical of the racists who are part of the non-left? I'm not saying pull your punches on the latter. I'm saying deliver them equally on the former.
I'll be happy to give you a critique of racism on the left, and I'll give you a Harvard, maybe it's Princeton professor, Cornel West, who accused Barack Obama of not being black enough. Saying that he had a white worldview because he was raised by a white mother and didn't know his black relatives, and Cornel West attacked him for not being black enough, and I think that's just silly.
It is just silly. I completely agree with you. I wrote a column in his defense. This was some years ago you're talking about, right?
No. Cornel West said that just the other day.
Well, you know what? He was also saying in an 08, because I wrote a column about this, 07 or 08. Yeah, I wrote a column. I said, you might remember that Bill Clinton was regarded as the first black president. I mean, could you imagine what would have happened? Could you imagine what would have happened if people started coming out against Bill Clinton saying he's not white enough because he was willing to appeal to others beyond his own race? That's exactly the kind of twisted measure that you just cited. So I'm in agreement with you. It was a dumb thing
Let's move on to Medicare, because that was a real victory, I think, in New York for Democrats when Kathy Hochul won. And it showed what we've all known all along, that the vast majority of Americans don't want to kill Medicare. They don't support the Ryan plan. And I just hope the Republicans continue to wrap their hands around the Ryan plan, because then we Democrats can have a landslide in 2012.
You know, it's intriguing you should point that out, because I'm looking here in the Washington Post. This is the reporting side, not the opining side, okay? It said, hours before the Senate vote Wednesday, former Bill Clinton urged Congress, including his fellow Democrats, not to tippy-toe around Medicare, saying the program is part of a whole health care system that has a toxic effect on inflation. Speaking at a conference about fiscal changes, Clinton warned Democrats to be very wary of weighing the issue solely for political gain, adding, quote, we've got to deal with these things. But I want to go down a little more. It says, the Democrats, however, and this is not an an opinion piece. This is reporting now, supposedly. In the Washington Post. The Democrats, however, are continuing to bash Ryan's approach and are not proposing major new ideas of their own. I see that all the time. That you guys have no ideas of your own. No ideas
sure we do.
Of your own. Policy experts said most of the ideas being circulated by the party, including government negotiated prices for medicine that older Americans buy, reprise older held views that Republicans oppose. This is what I love. This is the nucleic driver of everything. If you ever listen to a paragraph in your life, listen to this one. House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer, Democrat out of Maryland, said Medicare needs to be on the table, but he added that he would not risk a backlash by identifying concrete changes he would support, saying, quote, that is the same mistake that Ryan made. So apparently the only smart politics are cowardly politics. But if you show bravery, if you apply any testicular fortitude, you're going to be somebody who has a big problem ahead of him. Because you were brave, your politics might be that much more vulnerable. What say you?
I say that you're calling brave anytime you have to agree with Republicans. You're right that it's old news that Democrats want the government to be able to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies to lower prices on Medicare. You're right that it's old news that the Democrats have strong plans to cut the deficit by raising taxes on the rich and cutting corporate welfare. You're right that the Democrats keep warming over these plans, but what you're neglecting to mention is the Republicans keep warming over their plans and Social Security and Medicare.
The difference is your approach is already part. Your approach is already part of the ongoing fabric that needs to be changed. The opposition's ideas are not. So we're already seeing your stuff fail. And also, I want to remind you what House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer said. Again, he said, yes, Medicare needs to be on the table. But he added that he would not risk a backlash by identifying concrete changes he would support, saying, quote, that is the same mistake that Ryan made, unquote. The guy's admitting he's got no balls. He's admitting that people with balls, or if you will, including all the gals, people with fortitude and bravery are politically unwise.
I don't think it's fortitude or bravery to kill Medicare. I don't think it's just politically unwise.
Kill? Where do you get killed? Why? Where do you get killed? I don't know what kill is. That's a disconnected measure. That's a disconnected measure. You're using a disconnected measure, and you know that you're using a disconnected measure. I mean, why is it the starting point has to be referred to as the ending point?
Well, Alan,
Ryan came out with the plan.
Every Republican knows we need tax increases on the rich. Now, the Republicans are doing exactly what Steny Hoyer is doing on the left. They're not proposing any, even though everybody knows that this massive deficit is caused entirely, or almost entirely, by the Bush tax cuts. It's also caused by the Bush wars and the Bush recession. But the tax cuts is the major part of it. Every Republican knows that taxes are going to be increased. Where's their testicular fortitude? Why aren't they proposing tax increases? Oh, because their people don't like tax increases, even though the vast majority of the Americans do. Here's the difference. The vast majority of the Americans support tax increases on the rich. The vast majority of Americans do not support killing Medicare. The Democratic plan is more popular than the Republican plan, and that's why we're going to win in 2012.
The vast majority of Americans were also very much against Obamacare, but it never stopped you guys from still pushing it through.
No,
so
they're not.
Majority popularity isn't going to work anymore. And also, you might want to remember, as Harry Reid said, the reason for our mess right now is because we reversed Glass-Steagall, the Depression-era legislation that used to separate commercial banking from investment banking. And guess who did that? The vast majority of both Democrats and Republicans signed into law by Clinton. So while this president inherited the economy, it was bequeathed to him most assuredly and verifiably by the majority of both parties. Thank you, Battleline. Stick with us.
Time now for the final round.